Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, Psalm 71 has described something that is very powerful for us if we're willing to hear it. Psalm 71 is describing an old saint who is ready for death, explaining to us all of the feelings, all of the hardships, even the feelings of aloneness that somebody goes through when he knows that his time is short. That essentially is the situation here. He knows that his time is short, and he's crying out to the Lord that the Lord himself would not forsake him in his old age. And we've been studying this week, that against that backdrop, he goes back and rehearses how faithful the Lord has been throughout his life to uphold him. Not only just from the time when he professed faith in Christ, but went all the way back from when the Lord took him out of the womb. That the Lord had upheld him, that the Lord had formed him, that the Lord had known him, and he had been overwhelmed. His source of comfort was that God had always been with him, and he knew that God made the promise to his people that once he had begun the good work, he would complete it. That God never leaves nor forsakes his own, even in old age, even when the world chalks us off as useless. I said yesterday, what I often see when older saints are dying who really love the Lord, the thing that grieves them the most is that when their bodies are wasting away, they are unable to come to the house of the Lord and worship, to church. Today, we don't take this seriously. We ultimately are in denial of death. I've been rehearsing that this week. We do everything we can to keep our bodies young. We do everything we can to avoid the talking about this reality, even making funeral cover-ups so that it's just a celebration of life and we don't even have to see a body or feel the pain of death. That's what's happened in our society. But here we're getting a whole different perspective in life and in death of how this saint dealt with it. He is called out to the Lord. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. And after rehearsing his life, after rehearsing God's faithfulness all throughout, he now transitions to his perspective for the time that he has left in the present. That's the beauty of this. It's as if he's praying that since the Lord has been with him the whole time, since he's enjoyed a life with the Lord, now that the hour of trial has come, he cries out, "Don't forsake me," and immediately it seems as if he has a perspective change. So he transitions from the past, which has been this immense source of strength to him, and it invigorates him for the present. Is it true that we're useless when we are old? He does two things here. He fixes his hope on the Lord and the promises of what is to come. Listen to the language. "But I will hope in you continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." Did you catch that? Did you catch that? This is the most precious part of the psalm. What has invigorated his heart? Over and over he says, "I will tell of your righteousness, yours only, your salvation." One of the greatest tragedies, dear listener, happens at funerals and memorial services and celebrations of life, particularly, is that you're all accustomed to a certain kind of service today. Pastors get up and people stand up and the whole service is oriented around the good works and the many great things this person has done in life. You know? And as you sit there, you almost wonder, if it's a Christian service, what did this person need a savior from? He was so good. He was so righteous. It'd be easy to do that in funerals, I suppose. As a pastor, you know, the temptation is to just make people feel and avoid death and just think everything's great. Everything's great. Well, that's not the perspective here. A lot of people, dear saints who've died in the Lord, before they die, they say, I don't want any eulogizing of me at my service. I love when they do that. You know? Why do they want that? Why do they request that? It's the same reason the psalmist says here, I will speak of your righteousness and yours only. All of our goodness, dear listener, before this holy God is as filthy rags. We, as the apostle said, have no boast except in Christ Jesus. No one does good, no, not one. There's none who understands, Romans 3. There's none who seek after God. What use would it be to speak of our own righteousness as if we had some? That doesn't save anyone. What makes the Christian gospel powerful and exciting is that even though there is nothing we can do to please this holy and this just and this pure God, even though we've sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God, even though we are all under his just wrath, God loved and God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When the psalmist says here, I want to speak of your righteousness, yours only, it's because that's the only life that God ultimately accepts. Whose righteousness is the psalm describing? Whose righteousness is God ultimately pleased with alone? It's the righteousness of his Son. You know, there's that beautiful passage in Romans chapter 3 that describes this righteousness. Remember what Romans chapter 3 says, but now the righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. And that's the righteousness that he has found comfort in. The saint is not forsaken on his deathbed. If you are a believer today, you will not be forsaken on your deathbed. But there is a beautiful truth here. The psalmist realizes something. Your righteousness, O God, he says, is very high. You who have done great things, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me in, comfort me on every side. You know what the psalmist was also ultimately realizing? That because Christ is raised, our very bodies will be raised. He went from the past to the present to the future. There's a resurrection awaiting for me. But I don't want to miss today what the psalmist here testifies to. There's one last thing that the psalmist asks of the Lord. He asks this. Now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone to come. You know, it's been rightly observed that the Christian church is just one generation from extinction. It's a sad thing today that rarely does the generation share the treasures that the old have embraced in death. I have more elderly tell me that many of their children and their grandchildren don't walk with the Lord. No one, of course, you know, wants to admit that sad fact, but it's a painful one. Families today are so busy. You know, everyone's working hard to maintain a certain kind of life. It's all fleeting. We're all dying, and everything else has a priority other than the Lord. The sad reality is that if we don't have this hope that this psalmist here describes, the righteousness of Christ. In other words, if you're not covered by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, you go forever into a place of eternal torment called hell. I could never say that unless the Bible had not said that. Jesus told the story of a man who had everything in this life. He lived for his money. He lived for his glory. And one night he died without the Lord and without any of the things he spent his life working for. I pray that would not be true of anyone here, anyone who listens. I think the question is very fair today. If we cannot praise God today in our youth or in our strength when we're strong, if we can take it or leave it, if we can take or leave his church, when clearly the psalmists are crying out of the blessedness of worshiping God, if we have no joy in the Christian life, no joy or delight in the Lord today, what do you think's ahead of you tomorrow? What do you think's coming tomorrow? What do you think it's going to be like in old age? Have you ever seen a miserable, angry, bitter old person? It's the worst kind of person to be around. In contrast, you know, I heard the story of a Christian man who was dying, suffering an awful death. And in the days before he died, his son said to him, "Dad, don't you just want to die and be done with this misery?" He said, "No, son. Every moment from the Lord is precious." The psalmist here describes speaking to the next generation of the riches of the inheritance of the saints. What an impression that left. Even though we're all dying, those who put their trust in the Lord, his loving kindness and his faithfulness, will be seen in the fact that even at the moment of death's dark door, God's faithfulness will shine, that they will still be able to praise the Lord. That's how this psalm ends. Listen what he says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed." I pray today, dear listener, that everyone has this same hope, has this same joy, has this same peace in life and in death through the righteousness of Christ. The reality is, we're all dying. We can't cover that up. The reality is the outward man is wasting away. We can't shrug it off. There's nothing natural about death. That's what the world would have us to believe. It's just a natural process that we all go through. No way. Death, dear listener, is a result of a fall. It's a result that something has gone terribly wrong with the creation. And when you see that death and you feel that pain, the Lord is here telling us there's an escape from all this misery. There's an escape and a whole nother life to come where we can live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his son, that this awful enemy of death would be conquered. Jesus Christ confronted this enemy head on. Jesus Christ triumphed over this enemy. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, and Jesus Christ has made a promise to all who believe, to all who trust, to all who look to him for salvation. Remember what Jesus said in John 11? "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." You know what Jesus asked after that? He asked to the multitudes, and he asked to you today, do you believe this? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.